This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we are getting ready to head out and, of course, going to be flying my magic carpet southwest to Chicago through Midway and then on to actually going to take a rent a car there. And we're going on to Colon, Michigan for the, the 86th, I believe, 86th annual convention of Abbott's Get Together and also their 90th birthday celebration. So the two don't line up quite right, but I guess we'll figure that out. I really don't care as long as they have cake. Who cares, right? Okay. So I'm here in Austin getting ready to take off. And again, I don't remember really the last time I had gone to a convention. They all have started to kind of run together a little bit. So I had to actually look it up in my archives. And I guess it was the Collectors Expo in Long Beach was the last one, which was in May, just before we went to the Academy of Magical Arts for their banquet. Anyhow, this is going to be some fun. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of top talent there. I know Matt King and David Williamson are going to be there. Axel Hecklau. I'm looking forward to seeing some of my friends from overseas who are from 4F who are going to be coming there. I know they're going to be having great evening shows and everything else that goes on, all the parties and everything. And in fact, today being Tuesday, the first day as we depart, typically I come in on a Monday and have an opportunity to play golf in the Colon Open, or the Open Colon, I guess as they call it. Which is the golf tournament that Al Leone runs. And this year, I was not able to get away early enough to attend the annual golf tournament. But I am going to join David Seabock's party later this evening. That'll be the first activity, I guess, is just kind of this fun pre-convention party he always puts together. It used to be at his house, and it kind of got so large, they moved it over then to a place that is downtown next to Sterlini's. It used to be Dwayne Laughlin's old magic theater. Anyhow, we got a lot of stuff that's going to be coming up, and I'll be talking with just a lot of people, and this is going to be combined here with today's activities, along with tomorrow, because this really isn't a full day. I think it officially starts tomorrow. Today is the 30th, and I guess tomorrow is the 31st. Is that right? I may have that right, but I think that's right. Yeah, today's the 30th. So tomorrow is the first official day, and a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to kind of stop talking to save some room for the podcast for the rest of my guests. I also wanted to point out, if some of you have not started watching my new YouTube videos that I'm putting out, it's called The Magic Whisper, and it's only about 7 to 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes each week, and it is just an update of kind of what's going on, kind of behind the scenes, what's coming up, usually a clip from an upcoming episode of one of my guests talking, and also just kind of news of the week, I guess, more topical, if you will. So anyhow, go and check that out. Oh, so while we were here, I told you before that moving to Austin, one of the downsides for me is the airport, which is over an hour's drive for me each way, just whereas it used to be just 20 minutes away. But anyhow, it is what it is. And second of all, they have no Dunkin' Donuts, so which means, therefore, that go to my next backup. It's going to be Starbucks. And today, I'm going to surprise you. I have a blueberry muffin. Yeah, that's right. And I'm starting to try and cut back a little bit on my caffeine consumption. So I got a big old bottle of water here. Yeah, that is some good cold water. Yeah, I miss my caffeine. Anyhow, I'm on my way to Abbott's Get Together. Come along with me and enjoy the ride. I'll be reporting each day over the course of activities. And then, of course, we will slide right into Magic Live. And there'll be some reports coming from there as well. So until later, this is Scotty out. Just arrived in Colon, Michigan, and of course the first stop is here at Wayne Laughlin's old theater. What is this called now, actually?
Grand Theater out on the theater. Okay. Right. And so, some of us say it's still the hardware store, though.
I do remember when it was a hardware store.
It was a hardware store right. For years. Got that wooden floors.
Yep, and that hasn't changed either. They just maybe repainted, put another coat of paint or something on top of that. That voice you're hearing is David Seabock, the world-renowned illusionist out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. How are things going, David?
Well, fine. I'm upright. I'm happy. I'm here.
Yeah.
So this is the happy place. This is like coming home, and
it is.
It's a tradition, as it is for you and all these people who are here. So
It's exciting. Yeah. And I know you and Julie. Come on. Julie Spansky is over here then, too. Hey there, Julie.
Hey, how
are
you?
Okay, too?
I'm doing great.
I like these pins you make every year then also.
There's about 20 of them.
So there are 20 of them. Yeah. I assume you've collected them all. And so
I have.
You've got like a place.
She created them.
I do.
So you do.
I do. Yep.
Okay. So how do you go about that? I mean, do you just have an idea?
I have an idea.
And this one says ta-da. I mean, the other one, I remember the skeleton was.
Skeleton, rabbit in the hat, Cam Colon. Every year it's a collectible.
Yeah.
I don't know who collects them, but yes, there is a collectible for everything, right?
That's pretty darn true. Now, again, like even people have been collecting the number of times they've been coming to the Seebach party. This is only the second year you've had it actually in this theater because you used to have it at your place that you had rent over there.
That's correct. And we kind of lost count, but...
Over 20.
So a long time. We've been doing this a long... It was kind of started... Some years after Hank Moorhouse passed away, because he had a night before party, but it was a smaller event. It was some miles away from here. And then I thought, why don't we invite people over to this house? We rented this beautiful house. It was spacious and it just grew like Topsy.
And it had a lot of, grew like Topsy. So it had a lot of magic paraphernalia and things. Were those yours that you brought?
Yes. Okay. We would decorate the house. I would bring some silk scarves, or I'd bring a prop or an illusion or something and just kind of give us a little motif.
It added a lot to that. And I wondered if it was the owner.
All my crap, Scott.
Well, you were just driving over from Milwaukee, I guess. Which
right.
Only, what, about three-hour drive?
Oh, no, it's more than that. But it's 250 miles, but you have to go through Chicago. So you had to add 2 hours just... For aggression.
Right. And along the way, have you stopped at the Chicago Magic Lounge?
We stopped at a Hooters restaurant for lunch.
Okay.
And we stopped at the Albanese's Candy Factory.
So did we.
And Julie had been asking me to stop there for a number of years now. And
I thought,
a candy place.
Right.
And I was amazed. I looked at all of the license plates in the parking lot. And I thought, this is really a tourist attraction. And
I don't know why I'm talking to you. I should be talking to Julie.
You should be.
She's my soft part. I mean, you got a sweet tooth like me, it sounds like.
I do.
So what is your favorite there that you like particularly?
The gummy bears
is what they're apparently really well known for. I'm not a gummy guy.
But I like the gummy bears that are rejects.
I saw like a bag of those $10. It was like weighed about 10 pounds or something.
Yep. Yeah.
They all look like they've come from the Carnival Freak Show because they've got their twisted limbs.
It's kind of like
or no limbs.
In the heat.
Yeah.
Too
it's a lobster boy, but he's a gummy bear.
I like the Grand Marnier dark chocolate pecans.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
And I like anything dark chocolate. And I kind of enjoy Grand Marnier.
It was very good. Now, this theater that's still used occasionally, then, isn't it?
Yes. There's a singing group that does country and gospel or something here.
Oh.
And like a variety show comes up here once in a while. So it is still in use.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, you'd have to find somebody way smarter than me.
Yeah. One thing before we close, I was going to ask you about, we were talking about this, you started after Hank Moorhouse. Is this always, Abbott's always been like you say, Camp Colon, it's been a family kind of a thing. Have there been a lot of parties and things? I mean, is that part of the culture since day one?
Well, I don't know about day one because this is year 86 and I'm old, but I'm not that old. But what I've told
You're looking good.
Yeah, thank you. Well, there's a picture in the attic. Not looking so good. But, what I've always told other magicians who ask me about this, because the big magic conventions, of course, occur in Boston or Chicago or Atlanta or whatever. And then there's this in Colon, Michigan.
Yeah.
So we'll give your listeners a moment to concentrate on that. And what
cornfields and everything, sure. Yeah, an Amish.
A place that has no hotels, no motels.
A flashing light.
And restaurants that close at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But I tell them that when you go to the big conventions and the big hotels, the big stars, whoever they might be, that's where they hang out. you were not going to see them necessarily. But in Colon, Michigan, whether you're David Seebach or David Copperfield, you can't hide. You can't hide. There's no place to go.
Right.
And it's more of a family. And I do think that if anything happened here, heaven forbid, that there would not be another annual Abbott's Magic get-together. Many of these people, like you, would still come here.
We would.
For the same days, because you would see your friends.
That's exactly.
And you might not see a magic show.
Right.
You might not hear a lecture. There might not be
here to see you and have a drink.
There might not be a dealer that is trying to sell you the latest whatever, but you would see your good friends and you would swap stories and you would say, oh, you can't believe what happened to me last week. I was at this place and something.
Wouldn't that be funny and interesting to have a convention like that in which we actually didn't have scheduled talent and performers or dealers and we just had a get together where we're talking?
A famous quote from J. Marshall.
Yeah.
A name that needs no introduction to well-known magicians, was he was asked, what is the ideal magic convention? And who would know better than Jay Marshall?
Right.
And he said, no shows, open bar.
Period. Yeah.
Period. That was it.
The one I remember, of course, his famous line was, where are you staying? And he said, where am I staying? It's only a three-day convention. You know, he's up all night, you know, as well.
That's true.
Well, thank you very much, you guys, for hosting this.
Julie, always this good chatting with you.
Always fun.
Funny stories.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks again.
Okay.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was David Seebach and Julie Sabansky. We're going to visit with a few other people over here because this is a happening party, and you guys should always arrive early in order to play probably, first of all, in the golf tournament with Al the Only, and then take a shower because it's hot and sticky, and then... And then come over here, you know. So, and there, how many people would you say got here? Probably about 60 people or so, it looks like.
It was more than that. I mean,
it's 100. It's about 100. Yeah, coming and going. So,
yeah, coming and going.
And it's like about what time, 10 something then right now. But people, when you start at 7.
Not quite bedtime yet in Colon.
No, not.
And there's always the Legion.
Well, that's true. That's right. How late does the Legion stay open? Till 2? I don't know. They're always open. We never.
I've never stayed there late enough. Right, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But before we talk with Al the Only, we're going to talk with one of the talent, Clemens Ilgner, all the way here from Munich, Germany.
No, not Munich. Berlin.
You're Berlin. Berlin. Yeah, that's right. Yes, okay. Yes. I get those mix-ups. Sorry.
No,
I should
problem.
Know.
It's so
there.
Close. Only that's 4 right. hours.
Not far at all. Actually, closer to Prague, which I love Prague.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful city. So usually we see each other at the 4F convention.
Yes.
And so... You were booked by, did Mike Miller book you, I guess?
Yes, Mike, so, Mike okay. did it, mm-hmm. yeah.
So you're going to be doing stage or close-up or both? Or what
I
are you
do
doing?
Both, and a lecture.
And a lecture.
And a lecture. The and full program.
You're going to be playing your trumpet as well?
Oh, that's right. a secret. Okay. No, yeah, but probably. I play two instruments this Saturday, but the trumpet and the other one is a secret instrument.
Okay. Now, when I say the trumpet, actually, there's a difference between a trumpet and a cornet, because I played the cornet.
Yes.
In the jazz band, but you played a trumpet. Is that correct?
I play both. And to be honest, I play the cornet on Saturday.
Okay.
The reason is because the cornet is not that much, has not that much way. So it's more easy and it's smaller.
Yeah.
It's more easy to get it on the plane for such
true.
A trick.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I have a lot of magic with me also.
Yeah.
So
I imagine you do. If you're going to be doing a big stage show and everything, what are you going to be, 15 minutes or so, or 20 minutes, or how long?
So I'm I'm the MC on Saturday evening show.
Okay.
Yeah, I do some magic as well, but I brought three of very good magicians.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what happened there. Well, actually, I am sure what happened. My battery died. That hasn't happened ever. I always carry batteries with me, but I didn't have them last night. So partway through my conversation over there with Clemens Ilgner, my battery died. So we'll catch up with Clemens for whatever part you didn't hear on that. But so that was last night at David Seebach's party. There were some other people I wanted to chat with, but I'm going to catch up with them then later. But one of the guys that I always love visiting with is one of the friends of the Magic Word, and that's Jerry Costello. Hey, Jerry.
Hi. How are you doing, Scott? Welcome
fantastic.
To our village.
Thank you very much. And it is your village. You've moved here pretty much full time from Florida. Now you're retired.
Yeah, we retired in 21. We're up here from 1st of June to almost the 1st of October, and then we're back in Florida.
So, you just spent a little bit.
So, summers are here.
Okay, yep. And so you're a snowbird, I guess. You know, kind of a thing. You mentioned something about, so I saw last night when we were going to the Seebach party right next to Sterling's place, the sign said Photo Op, and I saw these lights that were set up there, and it's kind of like a little alleyway or something. What's going on with that?
So the street there is called Swan Street. The lights were put up by Carl and Annette Thornton. They'll be on during Magic Week. They come on at dusk. They'll go to about 3 in the morning. If there's a sign that says Photo Op, though, and if you go down that road about 150 feet on the wall to the west, there's a little surprise Photo Op for everybody. I don't want to give it all away, but let's say it's muralistic type thing. There's some...
Magic-related?
Very, very much. And you'll also... There's a few Easter eggs in there to look for. Little Easter eggs, a little hidden thing in a picture.
Yeah.
So there's a few of those for people that are in the know with certain things around Colon or whatever. A guy named Mike Bowers, who does a lot of 3D art and mural painting from Fort Wayne, does a lot of zoo art and stuff like that, came up.
Contracted for him to do that.
Yeah, so he, Carl Thornton's the mastermind behind it. He and I spent parts of 9 days. So we started 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, and we ended last Thursday. So...
The funny
so
thing
it's
is,
really
as I,
neat.
As I walked by there last night, it said Photo Op, and then I saw these posters over there from Sterling's. I thought, oh, John, it's just advertising Sterling's Magic, and the Photo Op is to take a picture with our that thing.
No, you got to go a little bit further, and it will. Okay. And I think everybody will be stunned when they see it. It's really good.
Yeah,
and we're really proud to have it in the village.
Well, I mentioned last night about how the David Seebach has an opening night party, and you have kind of a closing day party on Saturday. You've been
doing this Saturday
for a long
from 3 to 6.
For like, what, 20 years? Or how long have you been doing this?
1993
okay.
We started. So what'd that be, 31 years?
Yeah, it's be the 31st year.
Yeah, and it started out with just some hot dogs and hamburgers for the guys from Indiana that came up the first year we were here, and we did it in our garage. And then now it's kind of blossomed into a little bit bigger than that. We usually have food and drink, and people always bring something. It kind of is like the loaves and fishes. We end up with a lot of stuff, you know.
What was it that encouraged you to move up here to Colon from Florida?
I guess...
you like the water, obviously.
Yeah. So when we were... So I was practicing in Indiana.
Yeah, and, you were an anesthesiologist.
Right, correct. And we came up, went to... We went to get-togethers back in the late 80s, early 90s, and we stayed at a ramshackle shack in Coldwater, and sort of was given the ultimatum that we're not doing that anymore. So we started looking for a little place on the lake, and we found a great place. We added on to it a little bit, raised 3 girls up here.
Yeah.
Just been a great move for us, a lot of friends in town, so... I'm one of the most overserved magicians in the country. So we've got 3 magic shows or 3 magic shops off and on. And when everybody leaves, I'm about the only guy left. So
you're the one that has to patronize it the rest of the year. Yeah. Well, Jerry, always good seeing you, and looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Then thanks
absolutely
for all you do.
And anybody who hasn't been here should be here.
They should. This year is going to be really great. You've got a great lineup. We've talked about already.
Mike Miller always does a great job.
Yep. I think he's about done, you know, doing that too. He said he's kind of finished.
I hope not, but we'll have to ask
we'll
him.
We'll see. That's right. So the Magic Word Podcast. I was Jerry Costello. Scotty out. So, right now we have moved from the Barry Mitchell lecture, and we're in the dealer's room where Barry has the table, and I'm lucky to kind of get within 2 or 3 deep of him right now. After all the stuff that he was talking about, he really had sold the stuff very well. Now he's physically selling the stuff over here. So, I've got a couple of guys with me that have been coming for a while, Dan Rosenberg and Mike Conklin.
Mike Conklin.
That's right.
Hello.
Good to see you guys, and it's always good to get over here to Colon. And always look forward to seeing the Conklin family.
Thank you.
See you Saturday night then. Usually always.
Oh, yeah.
It's always the wrap-up party, seems like, over there. And having a good time. So you've been coming since you've been a kid, I guess. Right?
1961.
61.
Wow.
When you were born, practically. Right.
Yeah.
Was Carol Fox performing back then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was there a particular memory you have of this convention of somebody, an act or a person that stands out?
The one that I remember, 1961, the first year that we were on, we were also on with Harry Blackstone Sr.
It was the Amazing Conklin family, Conklin?
Amazing Conklins. And I had the privilege of, I sat on his left knee, and my sister sat on his right knee.
Wow. Yeah.
Backstage. Huh. So I've always, that always comes back.
You got a picture of that?
I wish I did.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think anybody ever, it was kind of impromptu. We were backstage, you know, the family, and Harry was back there, and I sat on the knees. My mom didn't have a camera.
Yeah.
So it's just in my memory.
Yes. You got that snapshot in your mind forever.
Yeah.
There are a few things like that. I've got like that in my mind too, you know, that I'm glad that I had that. It works better than a real camera, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
How about you? Anything, Dan?
My first Abbas was 76. I think I'm a little younger than you, perhaps. And then I went to the 77 one, and that takeaway was I was actually in the same contest that Jeff, Mac, and Lance were in. They came 1, 2, 3, and I think I was the 35th.
That's the one I've heard about.
Yeah, that's the one you heard
were
about.
Were you actually in the contest?
I was actually in that contest.
Now, that is funny. I've not heard of anybody else in the Thursday show.
I actually performed, and I didn't even see Lance because I didn't go to the Wednesday. I was actually practicing for the Thursday, so I didn't see Lance perform. So I was trying to figure out who that tall, skinny kid is that won, because we were like, we figured these other guys were going to take first place.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my infamous claim to fame. But
well, that's like it's very important.
It's very important. And I've actually talked to Mac about it 2 years ago when I saw him at Abbott's 2 years ago. I mentioned to him I was on stage with him, and he's like, "What act did you do?" I said, "I was the one where the bird, the dove, flew away and went into the ceiling." That actually happened 3 times. So I was one of the 3 guys whose dove actually landed in the ceiling and had to like try to banish a dove that was not visible.
Yeah,
that because you got music planned. You got like a time.
So it's all time. You got to get it. So you
banished an invisible dove.
I banished an invisible dove. It was
not many people do that.
It was the precursor to the invisible deck, I think.
Yeah,
the invisible dove, spelled the same with a D. But the other thing that was stand out to me was watching Neil Foster do the zombie and also his cigarette manipulation act. That was great. And I'll tie in Blackstone Jr. I think it was in 77 when his wife and his haircut as his wife, I mean, they were just like mini pictures of his wife gay. So he had gay, then he had little gay, little gay, little gay. So I think he had like 4 stair steps of blonde haired children. So it was pretty
funny.
It was pretty funny that. And then always just seeing Carol Fox and Tom Mulca were always great to see when they were.
Yeah. Duke Stern.
But Duke. Yeah. Duke was great. Tim Wright back in the 70s. So
Jay wasn't here back then. It wasn't until about 84, I think, it was my first one. So
Gar Copper was amazing manipulative magician, a German guy. He used to vanish his huge coin. He used to top it to do it. And then his billiard balls and candles were amazing. So that comes out of the 70s. And then I didn't come back until about 2 years later. So I came back in 2022.
They let you back.
Let me back in. Yeah. So.
And did you compete?
No, I haven't competed again. So I was good. I thought I'd do a funny act where I would make fun of all the magicians that kicked my ass.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you win a magic contest? Emulate your masters. So, Lance is the thing with the geese or the ducks.
Yes.
And they follow around on a stage. So I thought I'd take the dove that had vanished and I would shoot the dove and it would land on the stage, and then I'd have a string and I'd have somebody backstage pull all these doves, rubber doves, around on the stage and have them follow around and pull off the stage, and that would imitate goose trick. So I thought that would be one way to.
That's one of those inside jokes.
Yeah, inside jokes, yeah.
Magicians all like. Yeah.
For magicians all. But if you're doing a magic contest, you can do that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I thought that would be rather funny to throw that in there. So maybe I'll do my, this is my magic act from the 1970s where I came in 35th, and this is how I would have done it today, then kind of run through it that way.
I was going to ask about the Amazing Conklings also, because you guys had toured around. How wide of an area did the Amazing Conklings perform?
Well, we were in 40 states. Of the United States.
Okay.
So
I mean, I didn't know if it's coast to coast or just in regional areas.
No, just anything east of the Rockies.
Well, okay.
We didn't go over the Rockies. So, you know, we weren't in Washington or Oregon, California.
Yeah. New Mexico, yeah.
But anything east of that.
Okay. Did you ever go to Texas?
Yep. Oh, many times.
Did, it's the second generation, right? Weren't there, some older, I was going to ask about knowing Willard, Harry Willard, because Willard was doing tent shows around also. Did you ever meet or know him?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did your dad?
Dad might have.
That's what I wondered, if your dad, perhaps. So that he would have been around that age.
Yeah, could be. But one of Dad's good friends was down in Texas, Walter Zaney Blaney.
Of course.
Which were, they were very good. 70s
at Abbott's.
Yeah. And, you know, we hit toured a lot of towns in Texas. And then, of course, you know, yeah. all the others east of that. So
well, that was what I was wondering, because I know that Frances Willard would be just a little bit older than you, but you know, it was her dad. It was so that's why I was thinking that your dad may have crossed paths working. Did he have a big tent show, or did he work just schools?
Yeah, he just worked schools.
Kind of like J.B. Bobo, I guess,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, he had tons of equipment. Mm-hmm. And a two-hour show, and we would come in and turn a gymnasium into a stage
yeah.
and perform there, or theaters, you know, whatever was yeah. provided by the Curious sponsors.
Thing. Did you ever do any spook shows like Bill Neff kind of stuff?
Dad used to do spook shows
really?
Before I came along.
Huh. Did you know that?
I didn't know of them doing spook shows, no, but yeah. I think I've seen some pictures of it somewhere. So there's
nothing- he had yeah. posters and everything of, you know, spook shows.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But that was... before my appearance in the, I was seven, let's okay. put it that way.
So they didn't use you in the show until after seven.
Yeah, I started 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, when the first time I was on in 61. So
did they make you appear or stick you in boxes when you were little?
No, actually my sister got all that.
Okay. Yeah. Because she was a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the first time when they did the Hindu basket.
Hmm.
And they did that. And then my mom came out. Yeah. Then the dad put the silk or the cloth back over the basket, yeah. and then my little 5-year-old sister popped up.
How funny is that?
So
that's great.
Yeah,
great. Well, there's a long history of magic and magicians in this area. I was talking to someone earlier about the magicians who are from Michigan, and there are tons of really great magicians in the state, and they've been recognized and have come through Abbott, and so. That's why they were celebrating 86 years of this convention here than now. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mike. Okay.
Thank you.
So later. This is Scotty out. Hi there, Dick. How are you doing?
Good.
I've got Dick Stoner with me, and he's someone who's been coming to Abbott's for a long number of years.
70-some years.
70-some years. So we're celebrating our 86th anniversary. You have to be one of the oldest people or most long-time coming people, I guess. People who have coming the longest. Maybe let me put it that way. Yeah. Not the oldest.
Yeah.
You're doing well. You're looking good. And I've gotten good feedback, by the way, when we did our podcast before, when we had talked. So what you been up to? How's the magic shop going?
Oh, fine. I go in on Saturdays. And
mm-hmm.
But
still,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. At your young age of 86?
Yeah, I do that. And I love to look through magazines, magic magazines and stuff, mm-hmm. and keep current.
What's one of the favorite things you're looking forward to here this year at the convention?
Well, I'm going to want to meet or talk with what's his name?
Lance Burton. Oh, Lance Burton, sure.
Lance Burton, yeah. Lance
and Matt King.
Matt King, yeah. Friends, they all ask about me, and they're going to try to meet me.
Mm-hmm. So, now, I know usually that you only are here for like a day or two. Are you just come here tonight and leaving then tonight? Or
I'll be here today and tomorrow.
Okay.
I used to come to the whole thing, but...
Yeah, I remember. Well, it's kind of hard to say, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's fun to see some of the friends here and some of the things that are going on, seeing his stuff on display here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. At the magic shop here.
Yeah.
And are there things that you are looking forward to doing? Is there something right now in your life that's like, man, I can't wait until such and such? I mean, you've been looking forward to this convention, I know, for a while, but now you're here. Mm-hmm. What's the next thing that you're going to be doing?
I just want to see some of my friends, old friends that are here. Lance and
Mac now.
Mac King and they're really good friends.
As always, you got three.
That's on your court and your accordion.
So when you get back, home and where's home?
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's right. So when you get back to Fort Wayne, what are you looking forward to getting done? What are you going to do?
Well, we've got another thing coming up, celebrating in the fitness. Let's see, our store had 50 years?
75.
75 years. You're going to be celebrating 75 years over there. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Well, is that a cool poster? I got to take a picture of that.
About 3 weeks ago.
That is awesome.
Celebrated it.
Oh, you already celebrated. So what did you guys do?
June 29th. So
we had a big magic show. And
We held a big magic show for the community. About 200 people showed up. And then the next day, we had a big block party right in front of the store. It was proclaimed Albert Stoner Day in Fort Wayne. And the governor of Indiana named Dick Stoner a Sagamore of the Wabash, the highest award a civilian can get.
Is that kind of like a colonel? Like a
exactly
Kentucky colonel or
yeah.
something?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, for all those years. And that is an awesome looking picture. That looks like it's something that was drawn by Rick Heath. It looks like something, you know, that was from Le Grand David show or something, you know. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's good talking to you and good seeing you guys. Then all the best.
Thank you.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dick Stoner. Scotty out. And before we go, just a minute, that Colin Haynes, give me something.
Yes. And also at our celebration, I forgot to mention, but very special, President Arkin of IBM.
Oh, Chuck Arkin.
Yes. Officially changed our local ring name to the Albert and Dick Stoner IBM ring, number 221.
That is very important. You corrected that then, too.
Indeed.
And by the way, I thought he was going to correct me about his age. He was 94. Right? A young 94. Still young, that's exactly right. Okay, Scotty. Yeah. The evening show is finally over, and it was a great one. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Cheers.
But
cheers, Scott.
This morning, and to you, then Jason Byrne, and also, hey, Michael Mode, we were talking about it earlier. And so yeah, when I was talking with you, Michael, you were talking about Jason Byrne, then having kind of grown up together, and you guys saw Brett Daniels. So they will hear this on our podcast, but you want to recount the story? I want to hear it from your side of the point, your side, because it's different from what Michael had said, probably. So he was going to go have pizza, and you guys said, hey, you want to come with us?
So go ahead. It's like a testimony here. Go ahead. Tell the story.
You guys were in Detroit together, and you started doing Doves.
Yeah, we used to hang out when we were teenagers, and it was us and John Poem and Scott Rowling.
Romig's Magic. That's where we met, right?
Yeah, sure.
That was the club where you were. I mean, the club.
The shop that I worked at. Yeah. And Jason was in Windsor and Jerry Dennewith.
And I'd come over across the border, attend some of those Detroit meetings, and I think you came to some Windsor meetings, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Warren Stevens, we were good friends with Warren as well.
We would meet up Warren's.
Yeah, that was good.
And so tell me about the Brett Daniels story. And about coming down here, that was your first...
It was an Abbott's. It was a Wednesday night. I remember that.
Is that one of your first Abbott's?
I don't remember the night, so yeah, it was Wednesday night.
He did his Dove act on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Then he did an Illusion act on Saturday night. Yeah, that's where we met.
We were walking down Blackstone Avenue, and it was I think it was the two of us, and I said, let's go say hi to Brett, you know?
We saw him in the window.
Yeah, and I said, he goes, no, let's not go. And then he invited us to join him for pizza.
Yeah, he bought pizza.
And that was it. And then
you were elbowing each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, Brett, have you ever given lessons to anyone? He goes, no. Do you know anybody that would want them? And I go, yeah, the guy next to me here. And Jason's kicking me under the table.
And what do you say to him?
Yeah, I started probing Brett for a bunch of, questions about bird magic. And I got his number, and we met up again on Saturday night, and I helped him load in, load out, and we stayed in touch. And I took private lessons later on.
It was great. Right. And I said, Jason,
how to do that. Is that where you got your bird production?
Where your McCall, when you do the McCall?
Yeah, yeah, he was doing that. I started off using a duck.
Oh, you know?
Right.
Was it you that came up with the double cage thing? Was that you?
A number of guys had done that, you know.
I've seen that. And I was like, man, that is so awesome.
And this was Sean Begonia. Did you
say? I was waiting for a chance to get in here.
So, Sean Begonia, brilliant mind and magic. I remember when you debuted the Hank in the jug. Right out in front of the American Legion here.
Yes.
What year was that?
No, it was 2014.
So 10 years ago.
I got so many of the best magicians to hold it. You, I got, oh my God.
The Hank.
Yeah.
Specify what you got us.
Yeah, so it's yeah, you guys held my Hank. Yeah, real nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bottle of the Hank thing. It
wasn't Hank Morehouse. It was Hank.
What was really great, there was a lot of really awesome people from the past that were just happened to be here. And
right.
I got out of my comfort zone. I just invented it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just do this. And there's a really awesome video to show of when I was here. You're in that video. Chesaday's in that video. You weren't here that year, I don't think.
Maybe not.
But I'm really glad that Jason's here. I just want to say this really quick, because when I was a kid, younger, when I seen him on World's Greatest Magic, he did a trick with a yo-yo, and I was a yo-yo guy. I was like, oh, crap. And I wanted to be a Dove guy, too. And so him and Lance were the guys that I would watch to try to learn how to practice. You know, like, instead of learning tricks, like, where, and we just talked about this today, about where to look, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it was, it's really, really awesome. But then once I seen those guys, like, I'm not doing Doves anymore, so I'm not going to do it that good.
And so you turned away from Doves?
I turned away from Doves. I did. I did.
Wow.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So, one less competitor.
But I remember when I met him for the first time in 1997 in Vegas, I learned a lot, but I did drive him nuts because he doesn't remember it. But I was like, oh my God, Jason Byrne. Oh my God. He was working in Splash.
Yeah.
And he did take me to Cheetahs.
What kind of magic did you do there? Big lions and tigers?
A lot of lion productions and stuff like that.
A lot of pussy cats.
I remember I see that he had his doves in like a dog carrier. It had a little setup right there. And I remember when I see, you know, like, you know, the dog carrier with the, like, in your car where your doves were in the thing. I remember that was the greatest idea ever because I would individually do stuff. And yeah, it was just neat to see that kind of stuff. He's very gracious.
I think what's kind of interesting among the three of you guys sitting over here that I have spent the night over here with Sean one time and did a great conversation with him.
Oh,
we did one with Jason then on Zoom. You're the only one now that I'm kind of rounding out, having finished that this morning, that we'll be posting later.
And on the interview this morning, I talked about debuting the napkin rose at get-together here.
And a book you were going to give me, too, by the way, which you didn't give me.
I've got in the car for you. I grabbed a copy. But it was at that table right over there, and I will get you the picture. That was 20 years ago. 20 years ago this week at right there, the napkin rose. And then you were heavily influenced by Harry Blackstone, Dancing Hank. So you chose to debut that here. I mean, it's like a special place, right? It's coming back. Yes, Jason's my brother from another mother here.
To be here. And here's Lance Merton.
Lance
Merton is here, man. And he's been here like 4 years in a row. And so,
God.
Gabe, always good to see you.
Gabe and I also met at Rome McMagic.
Well,
and you're working on a book then with Gabe then too now, is that right?
Yeah, well, for the last 20 years.
A lot of people are doing that book.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a book on magic shops that we talked about. But Gabe, you know,
Michael was a demonstrator at the magic shop when I was, well, you're how much older than I am?
Wiser or older?
Both. I'm 50, so he's 6 years older than I am.
6 years older.
So when I'm 9 and he's 15, pretty big age difference.
So you came in the shop with your dad.
Right.
And, we were hanging out at Romings, and then you got the collector bug.
When I was pretty young, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 12, 13 years old.
But the book you were talking about is the joke book, right? Was that the one?
So the joke book was with Hobson.
Right.
That was with Jeff Hobson. And then Gabe and I started talking about magic shops and the history.
Magic shop, that's right.
Magic shops and the photos of magic shops. And
I just found an amazing, amazing photograph of Nate Leipzig walking out of Clyde Powers' magic shop on Broadway in New York in 1909. Wow. It is unbelievable. And he's walking out the door and the window display is right there. With all of the unbelievable, you know, magic lessons given. I mean, unreal.
It's amazing. And there aren't many pictures of magic shops. So that's why we want to preserve them in this book, because back then you didn't have an iPhone that you walked into a magic shop with. You know, people didn't really carry cameras into magic shops because this was a place of secrets, right? So you didn't come in with a camera and just start photographing things.
Yeah, and if you want, they never would display the thumb tips in the counter or anything. You
have right.
To back or whatever.
Exactly.
Get the real secrets.
Well, we've got some incredible
photos. Have any of the shops actually closed since you started investigating this?
Oh, sure. Yeah, some have burned down, some have closed. But it's something that we haven't really gotten into full speed because Gabe's been busy with his auctions.
Michael's busy with his life and... There's an outline and there's a giant stack of photos and a dream, Scott.
And good intent.
And a dream.
Good intent.
What auction are you working on now? Because you've got...
In 2 weeks, we have an auction of Ricky Jay's material from his collection, yeah.
It's number 3?
Number 3, the third one we've done, yeah. Yeah. coming up.
People can buy the book, I guess, now.
Yeah, there's a catalog available. We're close to actually sold out of them. If somebody wants to order one, I would suggest doing that soon. Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, you can don't have to be there personally, but you can bid online.
Just like Scott Wells.
Yeah.
Right.
How many books have you got that you're working, like, with Michael here? That you got other projects with other people?
Depending how close, I mean, how far out can we talk? I mean, I would say a dozen.
Okay, that's fair enough.
A dozen with two of them, you know, mostly laid out and ready to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say before the end of the year, I'll have a couple more at the press.
Have you got anything that's going to be introduced to Magic Live this year?
I just couldn't make the deadline. Not this year.
Okay.
Not this year.
You usually have one or two, it seems like.
I know, and my secret plan in my brain is like next year it's going to be five because I've got enough in the hopper that's like close where I could make it happen. Yeah.
That'll make us all happy.
Tell a story quick about the name of your publishing company.
Because of Abbott. I got my start in magic at Abbott's. What's the trick that started the Abbott Magic Company? Do you know?
I was going to say it was the upside down, like a pendulum. They're pop. No. What's that called?
It's called squash.
Squash. Yeah.
Right. Publishing.
Yeah.
So
squash is the vanishing shot glass,
which Percy Abbott invented and started selling in 1933.
The heck out of it. And that's really made him.
The trick that built Abbott.
Yeah. As Sid Lorraine said, it's the first time a shot glass started a career in magic as opposed to ending one.
The only time, probably.
Yeah.
So Gabe named the company Squash Publications.
I was just talking with Debbie Bordner, and she was saying that she wants to have an archive of information for people's best stories of the convention past. You've been attending a lot, Gabe. So have you, Michael. Can you think of a particular memory that sticks out to you?
Well, I mean, that's the whole reason we come back every year.
To create new memories.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I have memories from... What was it, 4 years ago when we all kind of felt like we shouldn't be here and it turned out to be the best magic convention that ever happened?
Oh, yeah, right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I undoubtedly there'll be something from this week. There already have been amazing things that happened today. I mean,
this morning we had breakfast with Mike Cammy and Matt King and Max Stoddard. And Gabe and I were there. So I started asking Mike about Harry Anderson. Mm-hmm. They were good friends. And he started telling stories about Harry Anderson. So here we are at breakfast. I'm eating biscuits and gravy, hearing these firsthand accounts of Harry Anderson. And that's just one of the many things that doesn't happen anyplace else.
To me, the thing that's, you know, I think about being in this building at the American Legion 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And kind of standing on one end of the room and looking all the way to the bar. It is wall-to-wall people. There's two guys from Tokyo sitting there having a beer. There's a guy from Austria next to them. There's three unbelievable close-up magicians sessioning right next to them. All my best friends are in the same room. Everybody who's been on the show is in the room. And the show's been unbelievable. You know, I don't know who I was standing next to. I looked at him and I go, nowhere else in the world.
Where else can you go and do this?
Nowhere else in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
I got to bring this guy over, Gordon Russ. Gordon is from the Detroit area as well. Gordon is one of the best family show entertainers ever.
Thank Mike.
And praise there, Gordon.
Yeah. So Gordon.
Well, I'm Scott Wells.
I know. I listen to your podcast all the time.
Thank you. You like it?
Yo, I enjoy it.
I'm sorry, what?
I enjoy it.
Gordon worked at Romig Magic Shop in Ferndale, Michigan, just outside Detroit, when I started going there. And I mentioned earlier that my dream book was Abbott's catalog number 22. And I remember making my Christmas wish list the first year I got it. And I still have that sheet of paper. And it's like a full, like a loose leaf paper filled with all these items from the catalog and the page number and the price. And my mom was smart enough to have Gordon go through it. And he was like, yeah, this would be good. This one, maybe not so much here. You know, you don't want to do tricks with liquid because they're going to mess up your case. And he was the worker that said, here's what you really want. And then he said, get a set of Tarbell. Mm-hmm. And that was like, the best advice that you could have at that age.
Yeah,
right?
It's true.
I owe a lot to Great set of books. And you still have the receipt, don't you? Didn't you say that?
The receipt. And, I still have all this stuff. And I went back and I've tried to buy everything that was on that list.
You missing?
There's a couple things here and there.
Let me know.
Yeah.
This conversation at all. How do you all feel about the book that I consider the Bible of magic, which is Henry Hayes's Amateur Magician's Handbook?
Dr. Dave Williamson, he thinks it's the greatest book ever written on magic. Yeah.
If you just got that book, you don't need it. And when I was a kid, it was $3.45 in a paperback.
Sure.
And everything you need to know about magic and performance, but maybe not all about performance. That's the one thing books don't teach. Because one of the things that I learned, like I would practice, it practice in front of a mirror, but they never said, don't forget to not practice in front of a mirror. Because the first time you're doing a show, it's like the first time you're not in front of a mirror. Like my dyslexic mind did that several times.
Many great things in that book. You know what I love about that book that's missing now is it was in a paperback form.
Yes.
So you didn't mind throwing it in your pocket, throwing it in a bag. Nowadays, I get these amazing books and I'm going on vacation with my wife and I go, I don't want to take that book because it's going to get beat up.
Yep.
You know, but that book, Amateur Magician's Handbook, I still have the paperback copy from when I was a kid.
There's even a line about the dancing hanky in there.
Yeah.
And I still, at the time when I had the book, I still didn't know how that trick worked. I was surprised to find out how it actually worked. I didn't even think it. But it said a horizontal line made this happen. And that's all that's in that line. They talked about Colin, Michigan in that book.
Kind of what inspired you to do the hanky in a bottle then?
I would say it was the David Copperfield Kodak commercial. You guys remember that? He did the Kodak with the dancing hanky.
And then I
was 13, I was second row, center stage, Copperfield's dancing hanky. And it is the greatest there ever was. No one's ever. I worked with Don Wayne and he told me, he said, there's 8 people helping do that. He said, you're doing what you're doing with nobody. And I didn't know that was a thing. So
out of all your products, all the stuff you've done, what are you most proud of that you've
great question.
The ultimate dancing hanky with me and Don Wayne, because when I bought that trick when I was 15 years old, it was the first time you could do a dancing hanky without any assistance in almost any lighting. But it was very limited. And then when I added what I added to it, I sent it to Don Wayne and he called me. He said, is that my trick? And I said, yeah, it is. And he was just being nice or whatever. He said, I can't believe I didn't think of that. So that's the one. I don't care. Yes, Extreme Hanky is really awesome, but the Ultimate Dancing Hanky is the one. It's the one that's like, it came to me. I didn't pick it. It picked me. I was like, oh my God, that's so freaking awesome. And worked out great.
You learned to do the technology behind it.
Rip it apart. Electronics.
Yeah.
I used to do that. I would take apart stuff and never know how to get them back together. I remember a really good moment with my grandma because we live with my grandma. And I'm in the kitchen and I wanted to know, why does the toaster, if I turn this little knob, how does it know how toasty I want something? How does it know that? Is it thinking? What's going on? So I would take it apart and I had it all taken apart. My grandma came in the kitchen. She's like, Sean, what are you doing? I was like, I have to know how. She's like, you got to unplug it first. Or you are going to. Yeah. So I learned my lesson that day. So yeah. Just taking some apart and just learning.
That's awesome.
All right, cool. Well, listen, we could go on all night and we probably will, but I'm going to shut this down at least for a little bit.
Let's toast to that.
And let everybody wish that they were here with us. Thank you guys very much.
I need more beer, Scott. Thank you.
Scotty out. See you tomorrow. Well, as we walk around the American Legion Hall over here, and we've just had a great conversation with some guys, one of the people who has finally taken just a little bit of a break, and that's one of the fellows that you don't see who is up on the stage every night working his tail off with all the rest of the guys. And here he is, Steve Chesney. Hey there, Steve.
Hey, guys. What's up?
So glad that you are joining us over here. So you're kind of unwinding a little bit. So.
Oh, yes. No, I need some time off. A couple of days out in the country. World of difference.
Yeah. I know that whenever that you're working backstage and putting these things together, some have to be more challenging than others. Is this kind of an average year, worse, less, more?
Well, it's usually the acts with the bigger props that are a lot more work just because of the physical nature. Yes, getting the big props in. My buddy John Meisner was on the show tonight, and he had some big toys. And so that takes some time to set up and you know, just figure out how that's going to work on stage, and then clear the props and then pack the props. So it's very physical, but every act is different. And, you know, we just make the most of it. And some of it's very simple. Today we were done with rehearsal essentially at 5:30.
Wow.
You know, but you know, a true professional, they come in, they know what they need. We hook them up with the sound, the lighting, and we figure out, you know, of course, where the props go, that type of thing. So, but I've been doing this forever, 30 years here.
Right. So. I was going to say, now Mark's got to be stage manager for almost 40 now, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And he calls the shots. I'm doing the physical work. I'm there to catch you if you fall. I mean, like today, I don't know if you saw me sneak out, but every once in a while, there's...
You did, so you come down, you were helping people down the step.
Yeah, there was a, you know, an older lady that went up to help on stage, and we don't have rails there. So I was there to help her down, because she slipped going up, if you didn't catch that.
I did notice, because she was wearing flip-flops.
Okay, then and that was why. That's why. So, but then when the kids, the last act invited children up on stage, so I was there to help the kids down too. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So, yeah, all part of the game.
So you really don't know necessarily from day to day how much work you're going to be having to do. However, I would think that everybody is probably already loaded in, although some people, like Piff, for an example, is not coming till tomorrow. And so there are some people that may tell you in advance we're going to be having X kinds of illusions or not.
Well, I mean, you know, basically you'll know if there's an illusion act coming in, that type of thing. And again, these acts that come in, that are flying in, are going to be in a suitcase. So that's pretty simple. Well, yeah, we have to make the most of what we can. But yeah, we have a number of acts from Vegas. Piff the Magic Dragon will be coming in. Oh, no, we're good. Unless you got food ordered. There you go. But yeah, no, he's just, you know, we look at who's on the show, and then we'll kind of know if, oh, this is going to take some time, mm-hmm. you know, if they got a lot of lighting cues and things like that. But, you know, like I said, the professional act will come in. What do you got? A blue wash. That'll be fine. You know, and that's, you know, and I've done this plenty of times where we perform ourselves. Same thing. I know, you know, what to expect and what, you know, what to bring.
Well, some guys I'm sure are pretty demanding, whereas others saying, I don't care, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're divas, okay. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was somebody that showed up late for rehearsal today, let's say, and was on his own schedule. And, you know, because we're there waiting for them to run our rehearsal, and they're not even there. And it was like, what's going on here?
Very good etiquette.
No, that was, like I said, I think he's on his own schedule. Mm-hmm. But we won't name names.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But it was an all-around good show, I thought, here this evening. And each night it always gets better and better.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep. It's always a fun time, and it's always to see new acts from around the world, around the country. Yeah, I think we have a number of acts from Germany this year. So that'll be interesting.
Saturday's an all-German act.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll be fun to see what they have to offer.
Well, last year, when they had an all-Japanese act, we didn't know until after it's over when everybody's jaw dropped and said, oh my gosh, what did we just see? It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. They rocked the world.
Oh yeah. No, it's fun to see a different interpretation of magic, you know, and it's always different when it's from another country, that type of thing.
Well, now you see Abbott's from a completely different perspective than anybody else, except that handful of people who are backstage, basically. Yep. Oh, and yeah. So from your perspective, what has been some outstanding moment or moments? I mean, I think you told me before, like working with Harry Blackstone was great, but.
Yeah, no, it's a different viewpoint because you're not really seeing the show. I mean, I'm watching to prevent anything to go wrong, that type of thing. We had one of the illusions on the show today collapse before it was pushed off all the way to the side in. I couldn't go help her because the curtain was open. So I'm just trying to avoid any disaster. But I think what's most memorable is just working with the different celebrity magicians over time, like Lance Burton, Harry Blackstone Jr. It's all a blur because I've worked with everybody, and I'm very privileged and thankful. And like I said, you know, most of them are very down to earth backstage and just good people. Some prima donnas here and there, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but so again, you haven't seen anything because you probably don't even get to see the close-up, because I remember they used to have close-up on the floor, and then they would rotate. They stopped doing that a long time ago, but...
The close-up stuff, I mean, I get to sneak out, you know, sometimes.
You're not a close-up guy. You're a stage guy anyhow, so do you care a lot about that?
I do it all. I mean, I've done restaurant work over the years, too, so, I mean, I appreciate a good coin trick or a card trick. But, you know, my field is, of course, illusions, that type of thing. But I enjoy seeing that. I enjoy being fooled just like anyone else. So
I saw on the agenda that Carol was actually working on face painting today.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she's set up in front of Five Star Pizza. It's part of the Abbott schedule. She's there, I think, 3 to 6 o'clock, and she does face painting for the kids. And it's just, you know, she's an artist, and it's something like, you know, she enjoys doing. So, yeah.
Most of the kids that are in, I guess, adults that she's paints, are they tourists or are they other magicians? I'm assuming that during this time, there are a lot of tourists that come in knowing that this is Magic Week.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have tourists who come in, or non-magicians, I should say, who come to the evening show.
Yeah, the laymen that come to town. A lot of people from Chicago have cabins up here. And they
What do they say? So they stay at their camp.
Yes, a lot of them own cabins in the area. And but they enjoy Magic Week like we all do. It gets, you know, Wednesday's quiet, Thursday more people, Friday, Saturday, then we're packed, you know. So it's just, it's, you know, it's been a tradition. I've been here for 40 plus years. I came when I was still in high school, and it's like going back in time, you know. I mean, the Amish are still out and about with their horse and buggy, and
it's
always fun to see.
Well, last question was, and I may have asked you this in the past, and that is, the first time that you came, what was it that... how you came to know about this? Were the other magicians there in your club saying, hey, this goes on? You said, I got to go, or?
Yeah, my friend Tom Rosa, he's a magician. He's in Ohio now, but he introduced me to it. Actually, they brought me here. It must have been, I think, 1983, Landis and Company were on the show.
Yeah.
And I was just dumbfounded about, I had never seen a magic convention before. And I'm like, what's this all about, you know? A dealer's room and a this and a that. And I'm like, so the next year I registered and I've been coming ever since. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's an amazing family type of reunion because I've known many of these performers here for decades. I've known you for how long?
Not long enough. I wish we would have known each other earlier. We've been good friends for such a long time. You're such an easy guy to like.
It's been probably at least 10, what was it, 20 years?
I'm 24 right now, and I know it's been in the 2000s. I don't know if it's back in the 90s. But
it's killing me. I'm going to be 60 in a couple of years. 60, me, Mr. Rock and Roll. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's killing me.
It's that hard living that has kept you alive.
I think I look good for my age.
You do.
I think. I still got my hair. That's all that matters. It's gray, but it's still there, so...
And Michael Trix is going to be here this Friday and Saturday. I'm excited.
Yeah. No, he's going to come. That's my buddy.
Yeah.
We're fellow rock and rollers. But yeah, he'll be here for a couple of days. But yeah, it's always great to see friends. My buddy, Terry Evanswood, I grew up with him. He was from St. Charles. We were local competition, but we were also best friends.
Yeah.
And we still stay in touch. But it's fun to see him. His dad is here. So it's, you know, it's just a great time. Great time.
Yeah, I wanted to visit with him briefly. Because I had a long episode with him. I was just talking with Lori Ulrich recently, and she was talking about, you know, Al the Only's wife, who is saying that she listens to the podcast, and when she's walking, one of the podcasts that she recommends is the best one was when I was talking to Terry Evanswood, because we were
at the house,
at his museum, and he was just kind of doing a walking tour of the thing. But there was a story that he recounted and talking about a lady who was who told him about how that she had gone to the beautician to have her hair fixed and everything, and had her nails and whatnot, and she went to his magic show, and the plan was that she was going to go home and commit suicide, and she wanted to look good when they found her body, basically.
Yeah.
But she was so inspired by his show that he saved her life. You know, it's things like stories like that that are just amazing.
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, I haven't had one like that, but you know, I've inspired a lot of young children to get into magic. In fact, I have a young friend that was in a wheelchair until he discovered magic, and it has helped him get out of that wheelchair. I introduced him to Kevin Spencer, and he did a documentary about him. I forgot what it's called, but my friend, his name is Trent Rivas, and he was essentially paralyzed on the left side. He was born, he had a stroke, and magic just was a spark to get him interested in getting up and performing, and he can do card flourishes better than me now.
Wow.
So, it's great. Amazing. It's a miracle. A miracle. So
we do create these things, and a lot of times we don't know what ripple effects we're going to be having down the road.
Yes. Oh, yeah. But I mean, yeah, Terry's story, I mean, that's heartbreaking. But I mean, at least she's still around, and that's a good thing, you know.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It's good being friends with you, and thanks for your time. Thanks for all you're doing and helping over there.
Oh, well, thank you, because like I said, I listen to every episode, heck, more than once. Yeah. I was listening to the Abbott's episode just getting ready for this. But I do a lot of walking, and I enjoy listening, and I look forward to every Thursday. Makes me happy.
Well, and I know you do, because every time that I post saying, here's today's podcast, within minutes you're saying, oh, I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yes, exactly. Yes, everyone should listen.
Well, thank you, and I agree.
Oh yeah, no, it's awesome. I thoroughly enjoy it, especially when you have somebody new and interesting. In fact, I think you were talking to Joe Devlin, a friend of mine, but some of his story I didn't even know. You know, so I mean, but you know, a fellow Italian, and we have a long history together as well.
Mutual interest and things you get.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's fun to hear some things that I didn't know, you know.
Right.
So, fun stuff.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Always good talking to you. So, the Magic Word Podcast. That was Steve Chesedey, Scotty L.